Hello everybody, I'm Nathan and I'm here at the Animas HQ. I'm here with Bettina Pickering, who trains our Certificate in Emotional Intelligence Coaching and Certificate in Somatic Coaching. How are you doing, Bettina?
I'm great, thank you, Nathan.
It's really great to have you here today to have a quick chat about these topics. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
Excellent. So Bettina, before we get started, I could introduce you, but I'd love to hear from yourself about, just could you introduce yourself to the Animas community and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Very happy to, Nathan. So just to give you a bit of background about myself, initially I trained as an engineer a long time ago in Germany. And then I came over to the UK to stay, and I joined a management consultancy. From then on, I worked on numerous organizational change projects, culture change projects, really large transformational programs across the globe, and mainly focused around Europe. And one thing I discovered there was that emotions in particular and change were really at the heart of everything. And so that's where my interest in certainly the emotional intelligence topic started. I'm also a master coach and master mentor. So some 10 more than 10 years ago, I discovered coaching and my love of coaching and started to, in various different ways, train as a coach and then as a mentor. And very recently, actually in January last year, I completed a master's degree in applied coaching, and that was focused around emotions and leadership. Just to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing at the moment, because that might be of interest to some of you, is that my coaching work right now in executive coaching is with the police. I have a contract with them, and I also have a number of private clients, again, more around the somatic side and the emotional intelligence side. So people who come to me, they tend to want to focus around these areas, or they bring issues where emotional intelligence coaching or emotion coaching, as I also do, and somatic coaching are really the right applications and the right ways forward for them. And for those of you who don't know me, just to give you a few personal things, so that I'm not just a sort of a faceless voice at the end of a webinar or a podcast, is I love cats. I have two cats of my own, and I'm absolutely mad about them. I also love to travel, and I travel quite a bit, mainly Italy, Ireland, and the US, because I just love the cultures there. And I'm really, really into my Qigong, which is a internal martial art, and which has also got me really to the somatic coaching that I teach today.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Bettina. I love that. I'm definitely going to try my hand at Qigong soon. There's a place near the Animas HQ that's, that does it, this elemental Qigong, and I'm looking forward to getting involved in that for sure. That's brilliant, Bettina. Thanks for introducing yourself, and it's really interesting to hear a little bit more about you and your personal life as well. I'd love to talk to you about somatic coaching today and the certificate in somatic coaching. So to start, what is somatic coaching for those of us who don't know much about it?
And it's a really great question, because I think a lot of people will wonder what it is. So where it comes from originally, I mean, soma, as part of the word somatic, is in fact a Greek word. And what it really means is the body as perceived from within, or the living body in its wholeness or entirety. So somatic coaching is all about coaching using the body as its center. So basically, how it works is that our body is sort of the container for everything we've ever experienced. So our muscles, nervous system, and organs, they hold every single unconscious pattern that we've developed over time. All the situations, events that people have experienced, and all the meanings they made of it, and the memories, they are somewhere encoded in our bodies. And there's a lot of research now backing that up. You know, some 10 plus years ago, this was actually quite a novel concept in the West, whereas in the East, this has always been understood. So what somatic coaching does, it actually helps the individual, our clients, to understand what is going on for them in the body. And what the coach does is similarly, so basically using almost normal coaching questions that we're all used to, but watching the client and helping them through their bodily reactions understand on a much, much deeper level what is going on for them, and also especially what's holding them back. Because most of the time we use somatic coaching when people are stuck with something, they, for some reason, they always get the same or similar result that they don't want and they have no idea why. Or they have experienced trauma in the past and there's no way they can shift it, and they feel very much stuck with it, and similar issues like that. And it can also be used very positively if somebody wants to accelerate goal achievement and they're saying, I want to actually align myself really, really well so that I'm 100% and super motivated and energized, so that every day I'll just go towards my goal and do something about it without consciously having to bring up all that willpower that, you know, we all are so not so good at using sometimes, and waste all that energy to go for our goals.
That's amazing. I find it really fascinating, this concept of the body's intelligence and being able to draw on that to actually help us move forward towards our goals. So where did this, can you give us a sense of where this field came from, where somatic coaching actually originated?
Absolutely. So the person, I believe, who coined the name somatic coaching was a gentleman called Richard Strozzi Heckler. And he really, with a number of other people in the US, developed this field, so based in psychotherapy, really, in the 1970s. And from then on, he started to develop ways of using the body in coaching. And initially, I mean, he used it mainly with the special forces in the US and the army and various other government institute, and then only recently in the 90s really brought it, or the 80s brought it into the public domain. This work is very much influenced by martial arts, so how Strozzi did it is by Aikido. Wendy Palmer is also somebody to know about. She developed a slightly different methodology around somatic coaching, and she also is influenced by Aikido, and there are numerous other people now who may not call it somatic coaching, but are using the body and as the center to help people to overcome their blockages, their stuckness, or to accelerate their goal achievement.
That's brilliant. So what does this area then bring or add to the field of coaching? What's also, almost in a sense, what's missing from traditional coaching that this particular approach begins to address?
Oh, God.
Big question.
on this. there's a number of things. I think the body generally is missing from traditional coaching. A lot of the, I think, where coaching came from is very much focused on the mind. So we ask questions, we get answers. And I'm putting this very simply here. Of course, it's much more complex than that. But I do believe that a lot of coaches, and especially the main coaching organizations, they really have missed the body out of the equation. Because the thing is, a lot of the time when we are stuck with something, we feel heavy, we feel sluggish. Somehow, even though we're sitting and we may want, you know, let's think about writing a book. You know, this is sitting and typing. So it's not necessarily much body movement involved. But actually, if in your body you're not aligned and there is some area of stuckness, especially towards writing that book, then the writing will not flow. Either the person will be so fiddly that they constantly have to get up, get some food, do this, do the other. They can't actually sit down and write and concentrate, or they'll sit there and be so heavy and sluggish that they can't put anything on paper. Their mind is absolutely blank. And a lot of the time that has to do with also what's stuck in the body. And so for me, anything like belief change, Values, for example, are incredibly stuck in the body, so they're very much connected to our body and how we encode our experience and memories. And almost any kind of decision making, funnily enough, is very much encoded in that. So our gut feeling, that certainly is so much prized in industry, where does the gut sit? It's in the body, isn't it? It's not sitting in the mind. The same with the heart. You know, we now know, certainly from research done by the HeartMath Institute, the heart emits much stronger signals than the brain ever can, and actually transmit much, much further. And so you think, well, actually, where's the heart sit? In the body. And so that's the thing. So if the heart and the gut are not aligned with the mind, nothing's going to happen, or it's going to cost an enormous amount of energy. So to me, I would always have a look at that. Secondly, a lot of our bodily responses are unconscious. And in coaching, the only way that a client or an individual can find out about those unconscious responses is if the coach mirrors them back, either verbally or by imitating them, by actually sort of repeating them a little bit. So to show up what the client's actually doing, or just asking a question. So I notice that whenever this topic comes up, you put your hand over your heart or on your stomach, or you start, you know, fiddling with your feet. What's that about? And most of the time, only this small question unlocks a huge amount of blockages, because the client all of a sudden becomes aware of something that has been so unconscious, that has been blocking them, that they themselves couldn't access. And just a ordinary question, what's blocking you, or what do you think is blocking you, wouldn't have gotten them there. But just that drawing in into the body, this gesture, what's that about? That really helps to unlock it, because then the client focuses in on where that is, and usually some answer comes up.
That's brilliant. I can certainly say that in my own coaching, it's something that I draw on often is the somatics. And I can completely, from my own personal experience, know that that is hugely insightful when mirroring back on an observation of what's going on for your client in that moment, what's showing up in their body. This concept that we're not just floating heads almost, and that actually there's all of that intelligence in the body. And as you said, all of the research, this kind of recent research that's showing the neural circuitry that's around our body. So rather than just using our brains that located in our head, it's actually using the mind or the brain or the intelligence throughout our body. So yeah, really, really interesting. So that's kind of I've had some experience with somatic coaching. What's been your experience of somatic coaching throughout your career then, Patina?
Well, actually, my first experience of somatic coaching was, in fact, when I started learning Qigong. And that's when I started realizing that, A, I could coach myself through that, and help myself unlock blockages that, not just blockages in the body in terms of health and physical well-being, as mostly Qigong is badged as by various teachers, but actually also mental blockages, or you know, performance blockages, leadership blockages, confidence blockages. And so I thought, oh, this is really amazing. And then, in fact, I was very lucky that some of my Qigong teachers were also either trained in neurolinguistic programming or other psychological tools or approaches. So they, in fact, looked at the whole human being and sort of started asking questions. So, you know, what's going on here? So that you didn't seem to be so grounded. Is there a confidence thing going on? And all that kind of thing. So I started to put things together. And then also, as I was learning this, I started to apply it to my clients. And applied with my clients and started passing some of that on. I mean, even just working with the breath sometimes can be absolutely revolutionary for some people. And, you know, even doing a simple breath exercise might unlock a huge blockage that they've had for years. And it's quite astonishing how it works. And I'm always fascinated by it. And then I also started to formalize that training a little bit more in the coaching world. So I went on the embodied leadership and somatic intelligence workshops that Wendy Palmer created with another teacher of mine. And I also did horse whispering and various other activities where I just learned about my own body and my own reactions to things. Mm. And I just keep doing it. And I find it really fascinating, saying, okay, so I'm supposed to be congruent as a leader about this, you know, conveying that particular vision. And actually, why do I keep stepping back? You know, it's really amazing. So I can do it in action with myself now, and I absolutely love it. Mm. But of course, you know, nothing beats interaction with the coach, where, you know, somebody else can pick you up on it, and you yourself, as the client, don't have to think about it. You can just be for now. Mm. Somebody else helps you through and facilitate that process until that blockage is resolved or that particular block. It's even more powerful. Wow. In my opinion.
That's brilliant. That's excellent. So with regards to the weekend itself, then, the certificate in somatic coaching, can you tell us a little bit about what that's all about?
Of course I can.
Thanks.
what we're going to go through initially is sort of laying a bit of groundwork. So what is somatic coaching? Where does it come from? What are the key concepts around it? The science and the research, because actually it's quite a, you know, where coaching is concerned. And I think generally our Western worldview is concerned, it's quite a novel field for a lot of people. Then we're going to go through what are we actually, so as a coach, how can we become more body aware about our own reactions? Because actually when we're coaching a client, we'll also have physical, emotional and other bodily reactions, whether we like it or not, is the way we sit, the way we might move when they say something, the way our skin might light up or dull down, even the way our eyes blink, so or the way we breathe. And a lot of that happens unconsciously, is really helping us as coaches to become a bit more aware of it and also noticing that in other people. So we'll do a lot of group exercises, a lot of experiential exercises in this this weekend. Then we're going to move on as a coach. How can we use our own bodies with impact in coaching? So how can we do that with volition rather than have things happen unconsciously, so that we help the way we are using our body language, our tone of voice, for example, or the way we're sitting, moving with the client. So how can we use that to help the client enhance their experience and their journey? Then we're going to flip, and then we look at the client. So all the tools and techniques that really work with the body in order to address specific and very typical challenges that we often get as coaches. So for example, how do people change a particular habit that they've had really difficulty in changing, or overcoming certain limiting beliefs? And that would be the self-esteem, the lack of confidence potentially, and those kind of things that we usually deal with as coaches. We're looking at how to deal with procrastination, because a lot of people certainly come to me with that, and I'm sure a lot of coaches have that as an issue, as a presenting issue from clients. We'll then also look at how can we use this not just to address things that, you know, clients come with as an issue or a problem, but we're looking at how can we also positively help clients enhance their performance, their goal achievement, how to make confident decisions, be more confident as a leader. And really just be able to use their own body posture, their breathing, to regulate how they are actually in work, at home, and their own emotional state, for example, and their own physical state. Oh. And so really give them the tools to perform better, and I don't really like the word perform, but, you know, be as they want to be, balanced, probably more balanced in everyday life and at work.
That's great. And so I know that a lot of the NMS students, some of them, like myself, are quite interested in mindfulness. And what I'm hearing is an increased awareness of what's going on for you in your own body as coach, but also what's going on for your clients. And I'm wondering, How does mindfulness come into this, or the practice of, you mentioned Qigong earlier, and how does that relate in this sort of area or this practice?
Well, mindfulness is certainly very much related. So for example, Strozzi doesn't tend to call it mindfulness, the approach that they use, but it is in fact very similar to what we now know as mindfulness, because a lot of the background is steeped in the Eastern traditions. So Strozzi calls it meditation. I would say it's a sort of mixture between meditation, mindfulness, and some sort of inner practice, whatever that inner practice is. And I say whatever that inner practice is because that, you know, people have different backgrounds, different belief systems, different things work for them. So what I would always do with anyone who wants to learn somatics or somatic coaching or wants to become more aware about their body, they have to have some process of going inside. Mm. And so mindfulness certainly offers that. It offers a very structured process in a way of going inside, understanding what's going on without judgment. Mm. And there are many processes like that. Mm. Whatever really works for somebody. And Qigong offers a number of them. It's not necessarily called meditation there. Some are called meditation. It doesn't really matter what they're called. Right. They're all usable. It really depends on the preference of the individual, what they like using.
Right, right. So it's about whatever the preference is for them and the practice is for them, just about this heightened awareness of the body, of what's going on there. Often that are unconscious, as you mentioned earlier. Yeah. And so what will, as coach then, in their coaching sessions, what will they see, hear, feel differently? What will change for them in their coaching practice, having done the certificate in somatic coaching or having begun to work in this way?
Well, first of all, I would say the biggest difference is being able to work with clients who have a preference for kinesthetics, i.e. feeling, touching, you know, really working through the body. Because those clients often, you know, actually pull the short straw when it comes to traditional coaching, because a lot of it is verbal. Mm. So that's not their preference. They prefer to experience things through the body. And actually, often you find with those clients, they won't be able to give you anything. So if you ask a question, you mostly, I don't know, I've no idea. So you get really your questions where answers where you can't get any further almost. And it can be incredibly painful for both the coach and the client to actually get to an answer. Mm-hmm. And I certainly find that happens a lot in when I do NLP processes with people. It's like, okay, at what age did you experience that event? Or, you know, was the first time event or whatever it is? And they completely go blank. When I work through the body, the answers are there. Mm. It's really quite amazing. And it really depends on our preferences. Some people are more kinesthetic, some people are more auditory, and some people are more visual. And this gives really the doorway or the portal into the sort of kinesthetic world and people with that preference.
Right. That's really interesting. I've actually, in my own experience, I've found out often it works very well to address that moment where you feel a bit stuck or kind of caught in the weeds of whatever the phrase is, but helping move out of that space where it feels like we've cognitively processed things quite a lot. What do you see as some of the other benefits for this approach for clients? You know, say that's, for example, that's when they're stuck, but where else might it be really beneficial for clients to adopt this approach?
For example, what I've used it for is when people have sort of decided on a goal, and they're saying, oh yeah, I'd really like to get to that at some point, and they really want to do it and they feel a failure because they haven't even done the first step. Mm. And so you think, okay, yeah, it seems a good goal. We've actually gone through all the questions and everything that's necessary and realize it's a good goal, but for some reason they're not going there. So often it is because they feel either they don't deserve it, or they first believe they have to do a million and other things to make it possible, or they believe they're not really good enough, which, you know, is linked partially to the deserve, or that they believe they probably don't have the skills or the staying power or something that's needed to get to that goal. So what I then often do with people is actually I make them physically get there in the session. So get them up and walk towards that, and very mindfully, to use that lovely word, is actually getting to observe what are the reactions at every single step. And actually, one of my clients had that challenge. He couldn't look beyond Christmas of 1 year. That was it. He couldn't look beyond it. And we were actually pretty close to that date. So he could basically look a few weeks ahead, and that was it. So he couldn't plan. So I took him up on a hill. So we actually did it outside and actually made him say, okay, which direction do you think the future is? Where is it for you? So he picked the direction, which was very interesting because it was actually going downhill, which was lovely. So he could overlook, you know, very, very sort of wide view. And then we took a step. So, okay, so next week is where, the next 2 weeks is where. So just go on from there. And then he found that where his blockages actually were in fact about a month into the future, he realized that he couldn't see what was in front of him, and then we could actually work on that. So then it unlocked a bit more of the future, and so it went on from there. And a lot of it was fear. So if you knew the future, then you know life would be boring. That was his connection. So we unearthed that a month in, basically, on that timeline. And so things like that with the somatic side of things that actually unlock a lot of things that. We almost, because a lot of it is unconscious, we just take for granted. We have certain assumptions about ourselves, the world, other people. We take for granted, and they're just so unconscious, we don't even realize that that's what's holding us back or that's what's keeping us where we are.
Mm. Yeah, excellent. Well, Bettina, I could honestly talk to you about this topic all day. That's probably all we have time for today. But I just want to thank you very much. As a final point, is there, if people wanted to go forward and do a little bit more research on this topic or just read into it a bit more, are there any interesting articles or books that people could to check out?
Yeah, I would always recommend to read the book Somatic Coaching by Strozzi. So that's definitely a good one. And actually, the Strozzi Institute published a really good article on it that explains what it is. Mm-hmm. And I also look at Wendy Palmer's book, Embodied Leadership, because that's a really good one as well. She has a slightly different approach and is certainly useful. Those are the two that I probably would start with.
Great. And actually, there's one that I saw. So if you're interested in the neuroscience of it, there's a book called Intelligence in the Flesh that I really enjoyed as well. That's about that kind of new field of neuroscience that's all about embodied cognition. It's very much what you've been speaking to around the neurocircuitry around the heart and the gut. So that's wonderful. So three good books there for people to check out. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Bettina. It's been really fascinating talking to you.
Thank you very much, Nathan.
Great. Speak to you soon.